next to knowing Christ yourself, one of the most joyful things you will ever do is see somebody else come to Jesus.
So many believers miss out on the privilege of bringing someone to the Lord. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out it's one of the most important reasons that we're here.
You're blessed to be a blessing. And there's something wonderful that happens when you begin to articulate your faith to someone else, and something even greater happens when that person believes.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, can you hear all the angels are singing? This is the day when life begins.
God can use just about anybody to share the gospel. He can use a former shoe salesman such as D.L. Moody. He can use a young dairy farmer such as Billy Graham, or use an aimless young high school kid looking for answers such as Greg Laurie. The Bible is full of people whom God used in surprising ways. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg points out the time is right for God to use you. What's holding you back from saying yes to what the Lord has in mind?
I want you to grab your Bible and turn to the book of Jonah, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And we're starting a brand new series, and the title of it is The Reluctant Evangelist. Let's read Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read 3 verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We'll stop there. Jonah was the reluctant evangelist. He was called to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to go. Why? Because they were a really wicked city. And yet, God loved them enough to send Jonah. But we all have our Ninevehs in life. And by Nineveh, I mean the places we don't want to go. Let's take California as an example. Everybody's leaving California right now. From July 2021 to 2023, 750,000 people left California. From 2020 to 2021, so many were moving out of our state that U-Haul literally ran out of trucks and trailers. It seems like the number one export of California is Californians, right? But listen to this. God has not given up on California, and I haven't either. And that's why we continue to pray that people will come to Christ in this state. Let's not forget, the last great spiritual awakening happened in Southern California. It was called the Jesus Movement. So don't give up on our state. So God wants to reach Nineveh. What does he do? He raises up a man of God. And he's still looking for men and women of God to raise up. You say, but Greg, I'm not qualified. Oh, give me a break. Nobody's really qualified, are they? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He's just looking for someone to say, here I am, send me, Lord, instead of saying, there they are, send them, Lord. I mean, think of the people that God called in the Bible. Moses was called by God. Moses thought it was over for him. He had messed things up big time. He had murdered that Egyptian, was living in exile. The Lord comes to him at the burning bush and tells him he wants to use Moses to deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt. And Moses says in Exodus 4, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. And God said, now go, I'll be with you as you speak. And Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever said anything like that before to the Lord? When Jeremiah was called, he said, Lord, I'm too young. But think of the people God used in the Bible and how flawed they were. Noah got drunk. Abraham was very old. Jacob was a liar. Peter openly denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying and abandoned him when he was arrested. Timothy had an ulcer and Lazarus was dead, so what's your excuse? See, God can and God will use you. So God told Jonah to go. As I've said before, God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, oh. God will always have the last word. Well, he got on that little boat and a great storm came. And all of the sailors began to call on their various gods. Well, Jonah was asleep. They said, wake up that guy, get him to call on his God. Who knows? Maybe he has the right one. Jonah comes up and admits, okay, listen, guys, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a prophet of the Lord. I'm running from the Lord, and this storm has come because of me. But if you throw me overboard, the storm will stop. They said, great, see ya. Over the side he goes. And yes, the great fish, the whale, whatever it was, swallowed him. In the belly of the whale, Jonah repented, and God gave him a second chance. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and then Jonah was vomited on the shore of Nineveh. This to me is very humorous. I mean, the whale could have just opened his mouth. Jonah could have walked out. No, he was barfed on the shore of Nineveh. So he was believing and barfed, digested and deployed. I have more. He was righteous and ralphed, bleached and beached, victorious and vomited, and finally barfed and born again. So, little humility there. Lord, I'm gonna humble you a little bit, buddy. His skin was probably bleached white from the digestive juices of the whale. And he comes out, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Who is this guy? But amazingly, God worked through him. He only spoke 8 words and it resulted in a revival of the entire city. But what did God tell him to do? The Lord said, go preach to them. And we're very apprehensive about preaching. We usually use that word in a negative way. You know, you're saying something to someone that says, hey man, don't preach to me. I don't need a sermon. So when someone finds out what I do for a living, like if I'm on a plane, I'm sitting next to someone, we're having a conversation, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a preacher. They're like, oh no, 5 hours next to a preacher. So we don't think of preaching in a positive way. But the fact of the matter is the primary way God has chosen to reach non-believers is through preaching. Now, let me define preaching. It doesn't mean yelling, though sometimes you have to elevate your voice. It's proclamation, it's declaring, it's giving this important information to people. And the Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? And 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those that believe. So we all have a Nineveh we may need to go to. And we have a choice. Are we going to go or not? Now, let me tell you the real reason Jonah did not want to go. The real reason Jonah did not want to preach to Nineveh was because he had a fear of success. Not a fear of failure, a fear of success. In Jonah 4:2, after he preached to them, and indeed they did repent, he says this to God, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you could cancel your plan for destroying these people. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I knew you'd do this. I knew you'd forgive him, and that's why I didn't want to preach to them, because God, I wanted you to destroy them. You know, it's funny, people say, well, there's a God of the New Testament and the Old Testament. The God of the New Testament is loving and compassionate, and the God of the Old Testament is angry and wrathful. Nonsense. There's one God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and here we see in the Old Testament how he shows mercy to the people that need to hear it.
It's great to have you with us today for a new beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie from Harvest Ministries in the US. You've joined us for an important message from the book of Jonah today called Jonah, the Reluctant Evangelist. Here's Pastor Greg once again.
I want to end with one last point. Sharing your faith can be exciting and, believe it or not, fun at times. It's really true. Sharing the gospel is life-giving to us as well as the person we share it with. You see, the gospel, by its very design, is meant to be given out. It's not meant to be hoarded. You're blessed to be a blessing. And there's something wonderful that happens when you begin to articulate your faith to someone else, and something even greater happens when that person believes and you play some kind of role in it. Next to knowing Christ yourself, one of the most joyful things you will ever do is see somebody else come to Jesus through your influence. It's really true. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and the word blessed means happy. It'll bring happiness to you as you tell others about it. I have found that the happiest Christians are the evangelistic ones. I have found that the unhappiest Christians are the nitpickiest ones. And some Christians just love to critique and debate instead of go out and share their faith. Let me give you an example. We're out riding motorcycles. And so we go to this taco place. It was Taco Tuesday. And we ordered tacos. So it's like four pastors in total. And one of them was a guy named Steve Wilburn that used to work for us at Harvest for years as our youth pastor. And one day I just said to Steve, I think you're the oldest youth pastor in America. What are you, like 60 now? Not quite that old, but maybe you ought to start your own church. So Steve went up to LA, started a church called Core Church. That's done really well. He's a great preacher and a real evangelist, not just in the pulpit, but one-on-one. Steve is always engaging people with the gospel. And here's how he always opens his conversations. He goes up to people cold and says the following. Has anyone ever told you that there's a God in heaven who loves you? I've seen every reaction you can imagine to this question. Because I'll be standing with him. We're in line at Starbucks, you know, and there's like 10 people behind us. And we get to the front and he'll say, has anyone ever told you? And I'm thinking, here we go. And I just want what's going to happen. Sometimes they say, no, what's your order, you know? Other times, no one's told me that. So anywhere, we're in this Mexican restaurant. So two of the pastors are having a theological discussion about something. And Steve is sitting there and the server comes up and he's talking to the server and he turns to the server and says, has anyone ever told you there's a God in heaven who loves you? Server says, no one's ever told me that before. And Steve starts sharing the gospel with this guy. Meanwhile, the other two pastors are having their theological debate. I'm just watching all of this. And then next thing I know, Steve is saying, would you like to pray right now and accept Christ? And the server says, yes. He leads the server in a prayer. He accepts Christ on the spot. And the two pastors are oblivious. They're still having their discussion. After it was done, I said to them, guys, do you know what just happened there? No, what? While you guys were discussing whatever, Steve was leading that man to Christ. That to me is a picture of the church, right? That's how the church can be. We're having our little debates about this and that. Minutia, theological minutia. While a world is on its way to judgment and we won't take the time to just tell them that they can be forgiven of their sin, we need to seize these opportunities. You can be one of those people that plays a role in somebody else coming to Christ. Opportunities are all around you. Sometimes we're saying, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be a missionary. I want to cross the sea for Christ. Hey, start by crossing the street for Christ. Talk to those that are around you. Go into your world and preach the gospel. You have a sphere of influence. You have a pulpit. Doesn't look like this probably, but you have a platform. It could be a social media platform. It could be your friendships, your coworkers. Whoever it is, you have people that you can speak to. Go into all of your world and proclaim the gospel. But a lot of times we don't want, no, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I don't want God's will. I want to live my own life and do what I want to do. Well, that's not going to work out so well for you. You'll see. God's plans are always better than your plans for yourself. Heard a story about a man who was approached by an attorney. This man knew that attorney was going to serve him with papers, so he avoided him. And the attorney kept trying to get in touch with them. And this man managed to evade this attorney for 14 years. Well, sadly, this man got sick with cancer and went into a hospital and he was dying. And the attorney came into his hospital room. He said, fine, go ahead, serve me with your papers. Attorney said, I'm not serving you with papers. I've been trying to tell you, you have an inheritance of $15 million. Now, that's probably not a true story. Just some weird preacher story I heard somewhere. Maybe it is true, who knows? But the point of it is, here is God wanting to bless us and reveal his plan for us that's so much better than our plan for ourselves. And we're running from it thinking we have something better when we don't. It's like the story of the prodigal son. He didn't want the rules and regulations of his father's house. So he went as far away as he could, just like old Jonah. And then he came to his senses and returned home. And maybe there's some prodigals listening to me right now that need to come home again, back to the Lord. Or maybe there's some of you that have never put your faith in Jesus. I've been talking about telling others about Jesus. Let me close by just telling you about Jesus and ask you that question. Did you know there's a God in heaven who loves you? A God who has a plan for you. He loved you so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. And Christ rose again from the dead, and now he stands at the door of your life, and he knocks, and he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. And I ask you, have you asked Christ to come into your life? He's ready to come in right now, and everything can change for you, but you must respond. So we're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Christ to come into your life or give you an opportunity to come back to the Lord again if you find yourself living as a prodigal. God gave Jonah a second chance. God will give you a second chance or a third or a fourth or a fifth one, but you must come to him. Let's pray now. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your love for us. And thank you for your offer of forgiveness to anyone who will believe. And now we pray for any that are here or are joining us, watching us, hearing us somewhere. If they don't have this relationship with you, let them come to you now, we pray. Now while our heads are bowed, maybe God has spoken to your heart and you realize you need Jesus Christ. If you would like Christ to come into your life, if you would like him to forgive you of your sin, if you would like to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you would like to fill that hole in your heart, so to speak, if you want to come back to Jesus Christ, return to him again, like Jonah did, like the prodigal son did. Pray this prayer with me now. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you are the Savior. I know you're full of love and compassion, and I want this relationship with you. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and rising again from the dead. I turn now from my sin and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior and my Lord, as my God and my friend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important word of prayer. And if you've just made a first-time decision for the Lord today, if you've asked him to forgive your sins, we want to first welcome you into the family of God. And we'd also like to help you get started living in this life of faith. Let us send you our New Believers Growth Pack. It's a collection of resources designed to help you to begin this new journey with God and answer some of the questions that you might have. Just ask for a New Believers Growth Pack when you call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And if you'd like more prayer, the team would love to pray with you too. Call 1-800-772-936 today. Next time on A New Beginning, we'll see that Jonah, the reluctant evangelist, got a second chance, and we can too. Yeah. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called Jonah, the Reluctant Evangelist. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app, where it's available as a podcast along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media. Station sponsor.